All right, so on Hey Amid Beis here, we've seen a lot of Gemaras about the different Yisurin people go through and the idea of Pishpush B'Maisim, and the notion of trying to figure out why something happens and what somebody might be guilty of and the like. So in that context, the Gemara has a discussion here in the bottom of Hayim Beis, towards the bottom of Hayim Beis. Rav Huna Tekifule Arameus Dani the Chamra. So here Rav Huna had something happen to him. He took a big monetary loss that all of this wine got spoiled. Al Lagabe Rav Yehuda Achua Derav. Sarjav Salah Chasidah V'Rabbanan. So all these visitors came to him. V'Amilei Rav Ada V'Rav V'Rabbanan. So they said to him, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea, perhaps, that you should look into what your actions are, your fashreish b'maisav. Which, by the way, you know, just to look at the dialogue here, this is the whole idea of pishpish b'maisav, just so you get the proper Mahalach. So ideally, it really should be somebody doing it to himself rather than other people suggesting to others what their issues are for a lot of reasons. So you see here, they try to get him to be introspective rather than try to tell him what his issue is. But he just didn't bite. So he responded, "Amicha shidna b'naichu." So he says to them, "What? I'm suspicious. You think there's something that you suspect me of?" So they respond that, "Listen, you know, we're not trying to cast aspersions on you, but the alternative is it's either you or God." Right, so Michashir Kadesh Brichu, Kadesh Brichu, Davidina Blodina. So it's either that or we have to suspect God of doing things that are unjust. So Amr Lahu, Miika, Man, Deshmiele, Milsa, Lema. So if anyone's ever heard a single bad word about me, you should say it. Amrle, they said, Hachi Shmielan. This is what we heard. Deloyoiv Mar, Shavishalar, you say. So what we heard, that you have a sharecropper, you have this guy who works in your field, and the nature of that arrangement is that he gets to take a portion for his work. And I hear that you don't give him his portion. So his Amr Lahu, he says back to them, Mi kashavik le mi dimine? So does he leave anything for me? Ha ka ganiv le kule, he steals everything. So Amrulay, they said to him, Hainu da Amri Inche, well, you know what they say. Basar ganfa ganuv v'taymatoyim. Steal from a ganav, you are still tasting the taste of Geneva. Amrulahu, so he said to them, Kebilna alai dihivnile, Zeke de Amri hader chala, v'hader chamra, v'yeke de Amri aikir chala, v'zdabim v'dey de chamra. So he was makabel their words, and he got the message, so somehow things got better for him. Either it turned back into wine, or the price went up, and it was equal to that of wine. So there is a lot to try to understand about this Gemara in terms of the nature of what he did wrong. So there is, if you got to see the Makoros, there is a extensive discussion, a little bit in the Rishonim and a little bit elsewhere, because one could have thought that indeed he was justified in whatever he did. So let's talk this out. So what would you think should be justified, and what would you think is the line that he apparently crossed? And what would you think is the nature of the tochacha here? So give me all the parameters. And especially in light of, I assume you got to see the Gemara in Bava Kamma, right? But what does the Gemara in Bava Kamma tell us?
You can see the Kuli Alma says you can But it was legally.
To what? What'd you say?
If there is a pseudo, mm-hmm. Everyone agrees you can do what you must to enact preserve justice. There isn't.
Preserve justice is an interesting way to define it. You need to take justice into your own hands.
Take justice in your own hands. But if there is, there's no pseudo. There's machlokas, but it seems that Tosos is on the side of. You can't take matters into your own hands. There is no loss in terms of just going the right path. So,
If there's another way to do it.
So it seems that what should have done this Gemara is that he should have gone to the courts and just had them adjudicated as opposed to just trying to recoup the money by himself.
Okay, so your theory is that the issue was he could have pursued it in Beis Din.
Yeah. Otherwise, there would be nothing wrong with taking it back. If Beis Din wouldn't have helped him out, then you'd say he could say it, and then you'd be allowed to do what he did.
Okay.
According to the Book of Common.
Okay. Any other theories or suggestions? Okay.
Or he could have done the Ben Bagbag route.
Right. Which is.
Which is to take it by force.
Okay.
Punch him in the teeth.
Sorry.
Punch him in the teeth.
Okay. Any other theories? So there are a number of possibilities here, just to understand the parameters. So, do you feel that there's anything that is suggested specifically by the language of the Gemara here? So I'll tell you a little bit about what's said. So, yeah?
That... Either way, it's important to make sure the person who is on the other end, who did steal or who was in the wrong, that they know what they did and that they know that something is being done to get back what was taken.
Why?
Because Ben Bagbag, I think the main gist of Ben Bagbag's statement was... You don't go in and take it like a ganav. You don't go in stealthily. You have to confront them and tell them, this is what you did, and now I'm taking it back.
And why is that?
Because otherwise it seems like there's no justice to it. Why did someone come in all of a sudden and take my stuff? I mean, yeah, they could say divine justice, but the most explicit form of justice would be for them to know that, A, they did something wrong. Maybe they didn't know. I would assume if someone stole something, they would know. But maybe in the case of sharecropping, you don't know where the boundaries of the field of your allotted portion are. Okay, so they stole that. They took. They should know that they should be confronted and know that they did something wrong, and have a chance to make up for it on their own. And if they don't do that, and push comes to shove, then the person who was stolen from should still have means to get their stuff back.
So what I'm trying to pin you down on is the question of what is the main thing that should be public here. So it's interesting that there's a range of possibilities as to what is the issue here. And some of the Rishonim, if you had a chance to see, so some of the Rishonim refer to this Gemara specifically as instructive as to the parameters of acceptable behavior in vigilante justice. Or it's not really vigilante, I guess, because it's more like self-justice. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma seems to give some license for one to act on his own behalf. The question is, under what circumstances? So what would you say should be the rules, thinking logically? In order for a person to be able to act on his own behalf, what would you say should be necessary circumstances? Yeah, David?
I feel like it would be different. Meaning, if there's someone threatening you,
mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I would say basically anything is on the table. It's like a present danger or threat.
Well, here, what we're talking about is somebody has your property.
Right. So if someone has your property, I would say that if there's a clear and easy way for you to recover that property, even if it entails some amount of stealing, but meaning that there's no present dangers and it's not something that needs to be more complicated than it is, then I'd say that it would be allowed. Just go take your property and be finished with it. If it's
how are you defining stealing? We say even entails some amount of stealing. So what are you stealing?
Meaning, I would say stealing isn't meaning who has the deed to the property. Stealing is, are you taking something that someone else is currently holding?
So taking away your stuff, I think. So that's...
So when the other guy's holding on to my stuff, technically if I take it away from him, I'm stealing in a sense. I would say in terms of ownership, it was always mine. But.
Okay. So what conditions need to be there in order for you to be able to do that?
What, to steal it back?
Yeah.
I would just, from a logical standpoint, I would say if it's easy to do it without any...
But it can't just be easy, right? So what circumstances... Like it's easy for me to grab Natano's water bottle right now, so I need other things also. Especially... Fuck it. So... I need other things besides easy. What else do I need?
I think if it wouldn't entail the person who was stolen from either putting themselves or another person in danger,
yeah,
or...
We're leaving out some steps. What else do I need besides not danger and easiness?
And if it wouldn't...
you're skipping major steps
here. Other illegal means, like entering someone's property.
But you're skipping some major steps here, your own?
I guess like access to it, meaning if it's like hidden...
Yeah, but you're also still skipping major steps here.
But the person's there, the other
it'd
person...
It'd be rightfully yours.
Yeah, you're
under
on your way there.
Halachic terms.
Closer. Closer.
Did he make a kenyan when he stole it from you?
No, but you're...
The Bezdin said it was yours, maybe.
Well, the Bezdin's not here. I'm doing this on myself. So, first of all, how do I even establish that this happened?
If anything.
So, okay. So, if I have proof, then I can go to Bezdin.
Would it be enough to establish the fact that you had a water bottle 5 minutes ago and now that same water bottle with your name is on Taker's desk?
Yeah,
so if it had my name, then that probably
helps.
So you're skipping all these major steps of establishing what happened here. So there's a lot of other major elements that we're not addressing. So first of all, if you see the Mordechai, so the Mordechai assumes that the standard of... The issue here that's missing is that Avad Inush Dina L'Nafshe is limited to the actual item that was taken. And that what Rav Huna must have been doing was taking other items of equal worth in compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not acceptable. And others commenting on the Mordechai note, such as you see in the Ma'arik, for example, that it must be an absolute given here that he's for sure 100% convinced that this happened. Right? That there's no doubt that this actually took place. Because certainly he can't just go and take stuff from somebody else under a circumstance where there's any doubt that this happened, right? This is one major step that you're all skipping. Forgive me for being a little concerned if the first question you're asking about taking other people's stuff is whether it's easy or accessible.
I'm assuming it's my stuff.
Right, I know, but why are we all assuming that? That's what we need to first clarify. So first, you have to be sure that you actually took your stuff. So that was the major step that we were all skipping. So... Here, the Rishonim commenting on the Mordechai said, now clearly that's got to be an absolute given. Now, the B'chat Sherav, in the Kesef HaKadoshim, he doesn't take that as a given, and he assumes that was Rav Huna's issue, that he was being done al pi umdana, that he was basically taking it as a given, that he was assuming that that's what happened, but he didn't necessarily know it. Yeah.
Was Rav Huna, meaning he was taking other... Is it that he was taking other property or that he was assuming that he was stealing his property?
That he was assuming that he was stealing his property and that he assessed that to be the case, but he didn't know that as an absolute fact. The Ma'arik assumes that he knew it without Eidim, so he couldn't prove it in Bezdin. But he did know it for sure.
Would it be allowed to take other... Meaning if you knew, would it be allowed to take other property?
So that's what the Mordechai is addressing. The Mordechai is saying that Mordechai's position is that he clearly must have known that he was guilty for sure. That's how others commenting on the Mordechai understand the Mordechai. But that's a given. He must have for sure known this for a fact, but didn't have Edim to establish it in Beis Din. So under those circumstances, he's able to take his property himself. But what Rav Huna did wrong was that he took something else in compensation for the property. So the heter of Avinash Dinul Nafshe is only to take back your own thing.
If he went to Beis Din, though, mm-hmm. and he made the claim, Beis Din, meaning let's say he stole his wheat, so he used all the wheat already, he made mm-hmm. bread. So would the Beis Din then not take back something else of equal value?
So then they'd have to pay for it. If it was made of shinoi, you'd have to pay for it.
Right, if he couldn't pay, they would take something equal.
Well, they can pay. That's different than just him going and confiscating something. Taking some item, like take your stereo because you stole your china.
What's the basin?
I mean, a basin theoretically can confiscate stuff, you know, in order to settle a debt, but an individual can't do that just to settle a score. Right. That's outside the bounds. That's what the Mordechai is establishing here, right? The Rav Huna did something wrong, despite the fact that Avin Ish Dinul Nafshe exists. So what did he do wrong? That's what the Rishonim were trying to identify, right? So what did he do wrong? So most of them are assuming that he must have known for sure that there was definitely guilt here. So, because how could it be that he would just take stuff without being sure about it? And yet, there was still something wrong. Daniel?
Would there be a way somehow, some way to fit taking the Shavua into this discussion?
On whose part? On Rafuna's part?
On Rafuna's part, probably.
Maybe. I didn't see anyone said that, but maybe.
Because unfortunately, they got to take a shura, they didn't steal.
Although, yeah, that would be hard to do. I don't know if there's a situation where he would have a shura for that.
But if Rafuna took it back, could he take a shura that he was taking his property? That he was retrieving his own property from a Ganov? And would that work?
I say that again? That if what?
If Rav Huna took a shvua that he was taking his own property back from the Ganov,
mm-hmm.
A, can he take that shvua, and B, would that work to, like, settle the case?
No, to be motzi mamon based on your own shvua, that's not normally a raya. So, what the...
Or can the other guy take a shvua to get it back from Rav Huna? To say that he didn't steal it and get it back for
Shavua. No, Shavua is not normally enough to be Motzi Mamun. So, one possibility is that he took something other than the item itself. What the Ma'arik discusses is that he had a right, theoretically, to take that item itself. He would have a right to take that item itself, even without Edim, if he knew for a fact that it was his item. But only if he could, now this goes to your point, if he could take it without violence or unusual access. And the Marshal thought that was astounding, because how could you just let anyone go around doing that?
What counts as unusual access?
Like if he doesn't need to beat him up or hire some goons to get it.
Well, that would that not be violence, and unusual access could be breaking and entering?
So that he also wouldn't be able to do. But
unless you're in Baghdad.
Right. But the Rionis and Eifshitz in his Chidushin, so he suggests that what could be legitimate there, theoretically, because they're discussing the potential other options, had he taken the right thing, is that perhaps in that situation, even though this wouldn't hold up in Beis Din because he didn't have Edim, but it would have been mutter for him to do that kol zman that the other guy didn't take him to Beis Din. Because since the other guy knew that he's guilty and therefore wouldn't go to Beis Din in order to try to recover it, so morally it would be acceptable for Rav Huna to take it and hold on to it kol zman that the other party didn't go to Beis Din. But that's all assuming that he took the same item. So where he went wrong was taking the other item. So that's another perspective on what's missing here.
I'm trying to understand, in the case of Rapuna, why couldn't he go to Basin? Because it seems like he has some sort of document written out with his sharecropper of what the percentages would be, and he can, meaning it can probably be clearly seen based on the monetary, like, values of both their amounts that they weren't keeping to that.
But he couldn't prove what was taken.
Why not?
Because it was gone already. Would have proof of that. So, if he had aid, then he'd have proof. So, apparently, he didn't have that. So, that's another possibility. In the Tshuvas, Tzvi v'Chamid, he has a discussion about this. And he thinks the whole issue is Ben Bagbag. Right? The point is that he should have done it overtly. And that, essentially, Rav Huna had an understandable cheshbon here, that he thought that he would embarrass the sharecropper if he would confront him, and therefore better to just take it covertly, and that was like Tosis's version of Yefshir ben Yenacher. So he thought that was a reasonable trade-off.
Yeah. So he should have done it overtly or covertly?
Overtly. Now, in general, that's a concern overall, that we talk about Gezel and Geneva. Gezel is overt, open, and Geneva has the additional... Geneva is basically Gezel plus. Right? Geneva is just taking somebody else's property, and Geneva is taking somebody else's property also in a sneaky fashion. So the sneakiness is its own crime. And what Chazal are telling us there and elsewhere is that you can have one without the other. That even if you're entitled to the money, or like the Gemara talks about in Bava Metzia, if you're going to return the item, so you're not actually holding on to the item legitimately, but you're gonev al menas lemekad, and you're taking it as a practical joke. So you just have the sneakiness without the illegitimate holding on to the property. The sneakiness is its own offense. So, therefore, that's what Ben Bagbag is addressing, that better not to train yourself in that kind of behavior. And the Rambam says about the Gemara forbidding Gonev Omanas Lamekat, that you shouldn't train yourself to be sneaky, which is why, Caleb, I was trying to pin you down before in terms of what the issue is. Whether it's about informing the person about what he did wrong or about you're not making yourself look like a ganav. I think it's as much the second as the first. So I think here there is a little bit a indication from the language that that's the issue, because this phrasing of Basar ganva ganuv, the time of time, sounds like it's focusing on that you are tasting the taste of Geneva. So to act in a sneaky fashion, just to allow yourself to take somebody's stuff without anyone looking, even if there is ultimately justice to it, but to act in a underhanded fashion is character destroying. And that requires its own tshuva. And maybe you could also be medayik here, that if there really was some kind of gezel involved, ben adam l'chavero, so then the remedy is that they need to return it. But here you see that he accepted their words, and then right away things got better for him. So it's more that he needed to do tshuva for the character flaw rather than for an offense against someone else. And I think that maybe is a part of what you see here. And that, in general, gezel can have those various components to it. It can have the impact on the victim, and it can also have the character flaw that is displayed. And here, there is one without the other. And Rabbi Yashiv points out from this Gemara that it's also interesting, especially the nature of the arrangement, that you might also conclude that, let's say, you have an employer whose employee is stealing from him. So can that employer just decide to hold back his salary? So you might think, yes, that should make sense. But Rabbi Yashiv understood from here that no, that's also not legitimate. That it's two separate things, that he has to confront him and tell him you're stealing my stuff and give it back. But his obligation to pay his wages is a separate consideration, and he's not entitled to hold back his wages because he's stealing from him. Hi.
So two questions. Number one, is that a matter of halakha or a matter of principle? And like how does that gel with maybe modern American law? There'd be like some type of dinat demelchus dinat aspect to it, because I think nowadays that is a legitimate. There are legitimate ways of just. I think when it comes to number one, like you can deduct wages if an employee acted negligently in some way to damage something. I think it's also in terms of if I'm a renter and my landlord refuses to do certain services, I can deduct whatever I do myself from rent. So there are things that exist nowadays. So number one, how does Dina affect that? And number two, is there a difference between physically taking something or even just withholding something?
So that's what he's medayik. You could have thought that there should be a difference, but it sounds like from this a little bit that there might be room to say that there isn't a difference. And then he suggests, and Zilberstein also talks about this in his position here, Velashev's son-in-law, that maybe also there's a difference between if the employee is stealing money, then maybe there's more of a logic to say you could deduct the money, but if he's stealing property and you want to deduct the value of the property, I thought maybe not. Hi.
How would this all work in if you catch someone in the act of stealing from you? Meaning, would you have to wait and then find some other time to either go to court or whatever it is, or could you, in that moment, exact your revenge?
Well, exact revenge? Why don't you tell them stop stealing?
But you know, you tell them, you just keep going.
So the exact revenge, how? What do you want to do?
Take it from him. Take whatever object he's
stealing. Yeah, if he's holding, yeah, so when... Before he actually removes the thing from you, so then...
Meaning sure you might get... There might be other things that happen in that scenario. Meaning you might get more violent.
Yeah, you can defend your property. That's the whole premise of Baba Machteris. One of them is going to defend his property.
Even though it's not life-threatening. The Baba Machteris is more like psychosis.
Well, the assumption then is that he may try to kill you. So then if your life is at risk... But you can protect your property.
But if you know
take
that
back your property,
not at risk.
He's asking if you could take back your property.
Great, but if I'm taking back my property, I'm not necessarily. I'm now escalating the. I guess the question is, can I escalate the situation? Meaning, my life is not at risk. He's taking my property, and if I confront him in the act, then that is now. I am now making the situation into something that potentially is life-threatening.
So it might not be smart.
But it's a
but is that legitimate, and then can I use potentially fatal force to protect
so
my property?
So that's what emerges, but it may not be smart. I wouldn't necessarily advise it. But it's within your right.
So, like, halakhically, it's within my right to, if someone is robbing my house, to come out guns blazing.
Wouldn't advise it.
But in theory,
yeah. May not be smart. Yeah.
So, I guess, yeah, what about the Dina de Vilchus Dina aspect? Especially in terms of where I go to the American government now and claim this. They might say, deduct the wages and like.
They might. So, theoretically, that could be the understanding then you have with your worker. That might be a different story. So, that may then set a different pattern. But anyway, so just wanted to call your attention to these different implications. This was just a quickly review. So what we saw, so apparently Rav Huna did something wrong here, despite the fact that he should be entitled to self-justice, to Avinu Tehillah Nafshei. So what are the possibilities? With Mordechai pointing out that the assumption seems to be that he was sure that this happened, but he can only take back that thing and not something else. Others may be suggesting that he was only assuming it happened. That was what he did wrong. That was the Kesef HaKadoshim. The Ma'arik pointing out that if he knew but without Edim, then he could still take it back. The Maharshal saying that sounds too dangerous, and everyone can just do whatever they want. And Rav Yonah Sanayevshit saying that, well, maybe the situation was that if there was going to be a Beis Din Taina, then he would have to give it back. But in this situation, he's pretty confident there's not going to be a Beis Din Taina because the guy knows he's guilty. So it calls mind that there isn't, then he can hold on to it. And the Tzvi v'Chamid discussing that this is really the Ben Bagbag issue, that he assumed that better to take it without confronting the guy in order not to embarrass him, but that actually is where the Taina was, and he really should have confronted him so as not to look like a ganav. And I'm just adding that it sounds like that from the Gemara for two reasons, really, and two reasons which are relevant takeaways for us. One is that the Gemara says, Hagonav Basar Ganav Taim Tim, that there is the taste of Gneva, and that's the issue. And also that the corrective here doesn't seem to be about giving anything back, which is what you would think if there was something Bin Adam L'Chavero in it, that he took something that he wasn't entitled to. It sounds like there was a character issue, that he was entitled to what he took, but he did it in the wrong way. So therefore, he needs to do tshuva Bin Adam L'Makom, Bin Adam L'Atzmo, and that was what happened in being Mekabel L'Tochacha. And that's why things were able to get better from that point on. Okay, tomorrow, let's try.